Well, folks, we're in the midst of this worship series called Now is the Time. And we're talking about how we have this God who knows that in life we sometimes feel stuck. We feel kind of like, God, I need you. And God, again and again, we're going to find in the Bible, says, now is the time I'm going to do something new in you. And we all know somebody in our life who's stuck, somebody who needs a church family. In your bulletins, a little postcard like this, I'd love for you to use this. Invite someone to join us here at Calvary, to join us for this series. I think it's going to be a really good one. Well, last week we talked about a guy named Noah, and we talked about how Noah, contrary to what maybe some of us learned in Sunday school, he was kind of a messy guy. He had sort of a messy life. And we learned that in our own lives, God doesn't wait until our lives are neat and perfect before God does something new in us. In fact, we learned this, that our messes may be a problem for us, but they are never a problem for who? For God. Our messes may be a problem, but they're never a problem. God never thinks twice when God sees the messes in our lives. Today, we're going to talk about the story of Moses, and we're going to talk about how when we embark on something new, God says, now is the time in our life, and pushes us to do something new. Sometimes it can be scary. Sometimes it can be scary. And then next week, we're actually going to look at the Christmas story, because I believe when God says now is the time to do something new, I believe God has an ulterior motive. And God's motive is this: God's moving closer to you. When God does something new in our lives, God's moving closer. God's using that to move closer to us. All right, today we're going to talk about fear, and to get into this, how many of you enjoy the state fair? How many of you are afraid of the state fair? Yes, some of you, huh? So our family, we love the state fair. We go every year, and in fact, this year we went 2 days this week, and we have, over the years, found out something, that there is more to the fair than just Pronto Pups, cheese curds, and malts. They actually have these things called rides at the fair. Did you know this? Right? In fact, some people say they actually used to go to the fair for the rides. And so every year we give our kids a whole sheet of tickets and we say, you can go on whatever rides you want. Just go have at it. And so they go on the merry-go-round. They go on the Ferris wheel. They go on the tilt-a-whirl. But there's one ride that they will never go on. I know this because no one in our family will ever go on this ride. If you've been to the state fair, it's been there forever. It's the haunted house. How many of you know where the haunted house is at the fair, at the far south end of the fair? We will never go into the fair, into the haunted house, because in our family, we have a belief that you just should not pay someone to scare you to death. Like, that does not make any sense. How many of you, like haunted houses? Anybody? So here's what I want to tell you. You people who like haunted houses, the rest of us just don't get you. We don't understand you. I mean, why would you pay someone to scare you to death? Well, here's the thing I know. We all have fears. We all have fears. In fact, I got to tell you something. One of my fears every Sunday when I get up here is that I will just waste your time. That I don't say something that maybe you'll take with you this week. That's a real fear of mine. And I know you have your fears too. We all have fears. In fact, I did a little research about fears this week. And here are the top five fears Americans have. The fifth one is trypanophobia. Anybody have any idea what trypanophobia is? It's the fear of needles and blood. Anybody afraid of that? Yeah, I'm with you. This one, aquaphobia. Anybody have an idea what that is? Water. Fear of water. Entomophobia. Anybody have any idea what that is? Bugs or insects, right? The kids talked about that. Acrophobia. Heights, right? And glossophobia. Anybody know what that is? Speaking, public speaking. Great. I get to do the number one fear today, in America. Right? We all have fears. And here's the thing about fears. Sometimes our fears are little fears. Let's go to that next slide. They're little fears. Like when I was a kid, people said, you step on a crack, you break your mother's back. And I was like, oh, I don't want to break my mom's back. So you don't step on cracks. Or I have this little fear that the Vikings are actually going to have another bad season. I don't know why. But then here's the thing. We all have some big fears. We all have big fears. And a lot of those fears we keep bundled up inside of us. We all have big fears. In fact, I want to ask you this question. Do you think, as just people in general, we're more fearful today than we were 20 years ago? Do you think? Raise your hand if you think we are more fearful today, more anxiety-filled. I think you're right. I actually think you're right. In fact, I read a study this week where they studied high school kids, and they found that the average high school kid today in America has more anxiety, has more fear than ever before. In fact, the amount of fear and anxiety the average, again, just average high school kid has today is the equivalent to what the anxiety was or fear was in a psychiatric patient, an average psychiatric patient in the 1950s. You see, I think we're more anxious, we're more fear-filled than ever before. I mean, think about it. When you think of our kids, why wouldn't they be fearful? We put them in car seats until they're like 25 years old. We don't let them ride bike more than 2 blocks from our house until they're, 18? We use so much, we use all that antibacterial soap all the time, right? We have these fears. They did a study on immigrants to our country, people who moved here maybe from Norway, Germany, and they found that after moving to the U.S., do you know what happened? They got more fearful. They got more anxious. In fact, the longer they lived in the U.S., the more anxious and fearful they got. You see, we have fears, don't we? And here's what I think. I think there's one fear that maybe sums up all the other fears. It's a fear that lurks inside all of us. And that fear has a kind of a funky name. It's called neophobia. And that fear is this. It's the fear of anything new. I know I have that fear. And I think of our kids headed off to school. I know they've got fears because it's a new year. I know people who are elders in our community who are terrified of moving into a care facility because it's new. I think we all have that fear of something new. That's why when moms, you make homemade mac and cheese, your kids kind of turn a lip to that, right? Because they want what kind of mac and cheese? Kraft mac and cheese, right? Because they know that what they're going to get when you open that box of Kraft. That's why some of us, who am I kidding? All of us eat at McDonald's from time to time. Because we know it's not because the food is great. What? It's because we know what we can expect. We have fears. In fact, that's why in some of your families, you're terrified of addressing alcoholism in your family. Because you're not sure what that's going to mean for your family. That's why some of you men, you're terrified of seeing a counselor. Because there's this unknown, what is it going to mean for me? You see, we have these fears. All of us has fears. And here's what fear does to us. Fear keeps us from doing things. All of us have had a dream, a big dream somewhere along the line. That we put on the shelf because we feared what it would mean for us, what it would mean for our family. All of us had a big idea. All of us thought about taking a risk at one point in our life. And we said, because of the fear of the unknown, the fear of what that would mean. I think our students know this fear maybe better than anyone else. Students, I've talked to students who fear going out for a sport or going out for orchestra or going out for band because I might look stupid. They fear applying to a college because no one in their family has ever done that before. I know students who are afraid to ask the cutest girl in their class out to prom. What if she says no? You see, fear causes us, it keeps us from doing things. Fear also does this, it causes us to do things we wouldn't normally do. Here's what I know about some of you. Some of you still have a flip phone that you purchased 20 years ago at Unicell. Huh? You're chuckling. You know you do. Because of the fear that you might have to learn something new if you got that new phone. Right? Some of you who are parents, on your phone now, there's an app that you can track your kids. It's called Find a Friend. You can track them wherever they go. And parents use that to track their kids on Friday night. You would never do that with anybody else but your kids. You see, fear causes us to do things we wouldn't normally do. Fear causes, well, causes people to stay in jobs that they would recommend their friends get out of fear of the unknown. You see, we have these fears. And here's the thing about fear. Fear can be kind of like, well, kind of like, I'm going to compare it to my wife had a phone. It was an iPhone, and it was an old iPhone. And every time she updated the operating system, it got slower and slower and slower. And the battery life got shorter and shorter and shorter. And that's what fear can do to us. Fear can slow us down. In fact, at times I think fear can immobilize us. It keeps us from doing anything. That's what happens sometimes in businesses. Does anyone remember a store where you bought toys? You kids would love to go to this store when you went to the cities. It's called Toys R Us. Been to Toys R Us? It's virtually gone now. Why? Because that company was fearful of changing, of innovating, of doing things new. Anyone remember a store called Blockbuster Video? Right? Right? They couldn't believe, they were terrified of this idea that movies would go online and that people would actually buy movies that way. And what happened to the company? It's gone. Remember Polaroid cameras? Huh? Right? The fear of change immobilize the company. It's virtually non-existent today. You see, fear can immobilize us. And here's the other thing. I know fear can immobilize congregations, churches too. Fears can cause churches to get critical, to get cynical. Churches can get angry. Churches can withdraw. That's what fears do to us. And that's led to, in our denomination, 200,000 Lutherans have walked away from the church since the year 2000. 150 churches have closed out of fear, that neophobia, the fear of something new. Well, here's what I know. We have a God who knows we have fears because again and again in the Bible, God said, now is the time we're going to do something new. And God saw how God's people were sometimes afraid when God called them into a new future. And God, I think God is okay with us not loving new things all the time. But God promises to be with us. And I think God even nudges us at times into the future. There's a story in the Bible about a guy named Moses. You say Moses. And Moses, it's a great story. God's people had ended up in Egypt because there was a famine in the land. And there the king welcomed them with open arms, gave them the best land, and they flourished, and they grew in number. But then an evil pharaoh, an evil king came to town, and that pharaoh hated the Israelites and made life miserable for them. It put them into slavery. As many as 2 million Israelites were put into slavery in Egypt back in that day. And life was not good. And God looked at what was going on in the Bible, and God said, whoa, whoa, whoa. This is not what I want for my people. This is terrible. I'm going to do something new. Now is the time. And so God met up with Moses. And it's a weird story. Moses was out tending to his father-in-law's sheep and goats out in a field. And it's when God appeared to Moses in a burning bush. And God said these words. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because they're slave drivers, because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So now, okay, hold on. Let's try that again. So now, Moses,
go.
I'm sending
you
to who?
Pharaoh.
And how do you think Moses felt about that? Not good. In fact, he was terrified. Moses is the evil dude who's put us all into slavery. You want me and go confront him? I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. And here's the thing. Moses responded just the way we would. Moses wanted to build a wall between himself and his fears. And he did that first by getting critical with God. God, your plan stinks. I don't like it. It says, but Moses said to God, who am I? I'm just a shepherd boy. There's no me. You need somebody who's powerful. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? He built this wall being critical. But then I think he got cynical. He got sarcastic. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell? I think he got cynical. He got sarcastic. And then I think he got angry. He just kept building this wall between himself and his fears. Moses answered, what if they... God, what if they don't believe me or listen to me or they say the Lord did not appear to you? He gets angry. And finally, one of the things we do is he builds this wall. He built a wall on withdrawing. Finally, he said, my hands are in the air, God. Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you've spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and of tongue. I can't do this. Moses said, Lord, please
send someone else.
And he steps away. He withdraws. You see, here's what I think. I think God knows we do the same when we're approached in life, when God invites us to something new. You see, here's the thing. When God says now is the time, God knows it can be what?
Scary.
It can be scary for us. When we're approached by an invitation to do something new in our life, God knows it can be scary. But here's the thing about God's invitation to something new. God's invitation to something new is an invitation to what?
Overcome.
To overcome fear. You see, I don't believe God wants us to live filled with fear. And God knows when we put up these walls between us and our fear, with anger, with cynicism, with sarcasm, try and control situations, we get critical. We only build our fear. It's only in stepping into that new thing that God's inviting us into that we conquer that fear. If there's something God wants us to do, it's to not live in fear. The other thing I think the story of Moses reminds us, God's going to go on and on in the coming passages to say how God has been with Moses' family for generations and God will be with them forever. He even sends with Moses a companion. His name is Aaron, who after Moses passes will continue his legacy. You see, here's the thing about God. God never sends us alone. God never sends us alone into that new thing that God invites us into. You see, if there's one thing I think God wants for us, it's this. Rather than feeling insecure, God wants you to know you are in secure hands. You're always in the hands of this God. You see, I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what new adventure God is inviting you into. Here at our church, God is inviting us into something new, that's for sure. This expansion, renovation project. I wonder what in your life God is inviting you into that's new. And God knows that at times it can be scary. But here's the deal. Rather than inviting you into an insecurity, God wants you to know that you are always in secure hands. Let me pray for you. Gracious God, you know the fears we have, the fears of new beginnings. You know when our heart beats a little bit faster. And God, you know that at times we can get critical of new things. We can get sarcastic. God, you know that we can withdraw. But God, you invite us, rather than building these walls, to move into something new. You invite us because you know that when that invitation is received, that it's an invitation to conquer our fears. So God, remind us that we are never alone, that you never send us into something new alone. You always walk with us. And for this, we give thanks. We pray this in your name, and all God's people said,